Welcome to another episode of the Playlist Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Barfield. And for this episode, I'm sharing a recent interview I had with the hilarious Ben Schwartz. People probably know Schwartz for his roles in Parks and Rec, Space Force, as well as his other various guest starring and voiceover roles. But in 2022, things are going better than ever for Schwartz as the insanely popular Sonic the Hedgehog sequel is released, for which he voices the title role. And not only that, he also has a scene-stealing starring role in the critically acclaimed comedy series The After Party from the brilliant minds of Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And it's The After Party that takes up most of our discussion as we talk about the comedic murder mystery series that has Schwartz playing the slightly obnoxious aspiring musician Jasper. For those unaware, the hook of The After Party sees a group of old friends attending a high school reunion and the subsequent after party. While at the party, one of the folks dies and the police quarantine the situation and ask everyone to give their side of the story. In Jasper's case, his retelling of the events of the night play out as a musical, and it's one of the best episodes of TV you're going to see all year. In the interview, we also talk about the success of the aforementioned Sonic the Hedgehog film franchise and what might be coming in the third film. We also tease the upcoming Renfield, which has Schwartz starring opposite Nicolas Cage, who plays Dracula in the film. But before we get to the interview, I got to tell you the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, The Discourse, Bingeworthy, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. Okay, listeners, as a final note, this was recorded a couple weeks ago, so that'll explain why I mentioned how the Avatar trailer wasn't released to the general public previously, and why I say I was recently seeing Doctor Strange 2. Don't be confused by the timing. I just recorded this a couple weeks ago, and then we're just now getting to releasing it. Anyway, with that all of the way, here's the interview with Ben Schwartz, who's just one of the most fun people I've had the pleasure of talking to for this podcast. So enjoy. Okay, so first I want to say congrats about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Thank you.
This sequel is doing better than the original film. It's crazy for me personally to see a character I played on the Sega Genesis now be like more popular than ever before decades later. So what has that been like now being like the voice of one of these like massive popular animated characters?
First of all, I feel so lucky. The idea that we got to make a second one is bananas to begin with. If you remember a time, there was a trailer that came out once where people would have probably bet against us. But we were able to listen and make adjustments, and it just becomes like an exciting thing. You seem like me who play video games quite a bit. Like my whole life, I've been playing a lot of video games. And especially when I was a kid, it's all I did. Like I was told to get out of the house many times because I was, you know, like playing Final Fantasy or role-playing games for like 70 hours. And it was just too much. So Sonic to me was, you know, it's an iconic character. So when they asked me to play it, I was blown away. And you're right. It's a whole new generation of people. So people are being introduced to, I mean, the word franchise is so funny, but like what would you use? What, give me a better word instead of franchise, Charles.
Universe? The Sonic universe?
Charles, you blew it, and you blew it in a terrible way in front of so many people. The Sonic universe, the Sonic franchise, it's like some of these kids, I have a lot of my friends who have kids, and my friends are so excited to see it because like you and I, they played it when they were kids, but this is their first introduction to, their kids' first introduction to the characters. And sometimes, most of the time, it's their kid's first introduction to Jim Carrey, which is kind of crazy as well, because we grew up with him being, you know, he's the biggest movie star of all time, it's, you know, still is. So I get to be the gateway for these kids to learn about the games again, learn about the cartoons, listen to Jaleel or, you know, or Ryan Drummond. So it's like, it's very exciting and surreal. And I've been doing voiceover since 2005, so it feels really exciting that like something that I've done in the VO world is starting to really hit with people, and people are getting excited by it.
Yeah, so you ready to spill the beans on Sonic 3?
I don't even know yet. All I know is that we're greenlit for development, I think.
Right.
But did you see Sonic 2?
I have not yet. My child is too Charles. Young. I know. Wow, I dropped Charles. The ball. I don't want to lie to you. I could say I saw it.
There's no reason to lie, because then I would have asked you specific questions. And then, I know. Where are we? What are we even doing?
I know.
But the end is to like, just as there was a mid-credit sequence of one that introduces Tails, there's a mid-credit sequence of two that introduces another character. And in my head, that character makes a whole, like so much can happen with that character because there's a very deep backstory. And so I wonder where we're going to go. But it seems like every movie we add more CG and we add more characters and we add more stuff from people from the video games for them to enjoy. So if two, we blew it out so much that three, I don't like, it's going to be bananas. It's going to be crazy. I can't wait.
I was yeah. speaking to one of my co-hosts who has a kid who's like five, like right in the sweet spot. And he watches the movies with him and he says, you know, this is turned like the second one turned it straight into like a Fast and Furious franchise. So really it's like, who knows what's going to happen in three. So I took that as a compliment.
So the first one is kind of like the road trip, bromance of like James Marsden and Sonic. The second one I see is like an Indiana Jones caper. That also has like Marvel tones, like has an Avengers feel because these three superhero type characters, you know, are all in the same movie and, you know, and then there's an even bigger bad guy and stuff like that. So, for three, I wonder how you up that. But I think if you look at themes, it could be a road trip. Second one's like an Indiana Jones capery type thing. And the third one, I wonder what genre they play with. But I can't wait. I'm so excited.
As long as they give you the call.
Yeah, it would be weird if they switched midstream. it would be weird if all of a sudden I worked so hard with these guys, like make these movies as good as they can. And then they're like, yeah, maybe we'll go somewhere else with their one. Really?
But yeah, so let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the show at hand here, which is The After Party. For my money, it's one of the best TV shows of the year so far. I absolutely adore it. And you, I think, I mean, everybody's great, but your episode, the Jasper episode, is one of my favorite episodes of the year.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we'll get more into why, but I want to say first, it's a big ensemble, a lot of big names. Who's the worst to work with?
The worst to work with nobody. That also, you got to remember, we filmed that in October of 2020, so it was like the worst COVID has ever been. It was everybody's first project back, so it was the first time I hugged somebody outside of my girlfriend for a year or something like that. So it was like hugging Sam Richardson in a scene was the first time I had human contact with someone, because we tested twice a day during the holidays. Wow. Like we really were diligent. We did not want to get shut down, and Lord and Miller, they're thinking about their crews. They're thinking about their everybody. So, it was a dream come true. It is one of the, you know, best things I've ever been a part of creatively. And, one of my favorite directors I've ever worked with ever, Chris Miller. I'll do anytime Phil or Chris want me for anything. I mean, it would have to be like a real weird thing for me to say no. I'm enamored with their process and how they treat people, and their product is so good at the end. They're so good at making films and television shows. It's crazy.
They have a knack for taking an idea where you're like, that's never going to work, and then it just works, and it works better than you can imagine.
Think about Lego Movie.
Yeah.
Lego Movie is a tough pitch.
That's 21 Jump Street.
20 Jump Street, such a tough pitch.
Yeah.
And they're just amazing. Cloudy, turning Cloudy into what they turned it into. It's amazing. And this is such a hard thing to shoot. Chris basically was shooting eight different movies at the same time. There's different genres and then and different lighting for each one. And then he has to remember, each episode we do, it's like, let's say it's my character's retelling of that night. So now every other character in my scene is not acting like themselves. They're acting what my character thinks they were like that day, which is so, it was such a hard undertaking, and he directed every episode.
Yeah.
Every one. Now it's starting to happen more, but when I was coming up in television, that never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And just to get people up to speed who maybe haven't seen it, it's a murder mystery, old school whodunit, kind of Rashomon style with different point of views, different tones, different genres being tackled with each episode. And with that, like I said, you have one of my favorites, which is your character Jasper's episode, where he, his telling of the story happens to be a musical. So I'm curious, when you get pitched this, I assume you came in pretty early on, got pitched the whole lay of the land, so to speak, and knew you're going to have this musical episode. Was that daunting, or were you like, yes, let me have at it?
So I'll save some of this for after we talk about spoiler warnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for the before part, the email I got was from Chris Miller being like, hey, I wrote this thing. I wrote it with this character with you in mind. It's going to be a murder mystery. I'm like, first of all, I'll do whatever. I did Lego Movie 2 with them, but, you know, it's like a small, tiny little, I played a banana. And what a great sentence. I played a banana. So, like, I've always wanted to work with them. They're my top five directors to work with list. So I was already going to say yes, no matter what it is. And then they're like, murder mystery. I was like, I love murder mysteries. They're so fun. You know, I'm obsessed. So I'm already in. And then they go, different genre. So it's a different feeling for murder mystery, like a Rashomon type thing. I'm like, this is incredible. And then they said, and your one is a musical. And I got so excited and nervous at the same time. I got excited because in my head, I was like, oh my God, that means I'm going to be like singing and dancing. And it'll be such a fun thing, especially after not being around people, being around like, you know. And then I was like really excited and really like, oh shit, I got to, and he didn't even ask if I could sing or dance. He didn't ask. He asked after I got the role. He said, and you can sing, right? And I was like, kind of, yeah, I can sing a little bit. And he goes, okay, good. I go, really now? Like, it's already, we're like in it. But it was daunting. But I mean, we got like Kat Burns, who did the choreography for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Fiora Cutler, who's a vocal coach who like helps all these people. So whenever I've done music in the past, it's been like John Ralphio, who kind of like just sing songy things, not really singing. And then I did like a lot of songs as like Dewey from DuckTales, or, you know, like Randy Cunningham, or like, you know, so I didn't have to be great. I just had to be like this person's voice. So this one is like, my guy thinks he's nailing it and he's doing as good of a job as he can. So I wanted to be as good as I can. I know I'm never going to be like a Broadway. I don't have the voice of a Broadway person, but if I could really Hugh Jackman, I can't be Ben Platt or Hugh Jackman or Leslie Odom Jr. Yeah. But I could, try my best, I could pull it off, pull a version of this off. That was it. The craziest thing is filming that stuff, you would need days to film musical sequences because it's a TV show and there's so much going on. Chris had half a day. Wow. So like some of these numbers, it was like half a day, or it was crazy. It was crazy how much we did with so little time. It's just a testament to Chris Miller being a genius. And I got lucky and he made me feel supported the whole time. Never made me feel like I was out of my depth, always encouraging and always really happy with the result. So it was great.
Now, one thing about musicals are the actual songs, the music. That has to be good, right? But also, I thought for Jasper, it would be okay if it wasn't good, right? Like, it would almost be funnier if it wasn't. But
Charles,
damn,
what are you saying, Charles?
Well, no, here's the compliment. I was gonna say, damn, you got some bangers in there, though. Yeah, sure, whatever.
I mean,
come on.
John LaJoya, who was in the League.
And yeah, he's
really
great.
Funny,
he's
Canadian
great.
Gentleman. He wrote our songs with Jack Dolden, who was a writer for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And then Chris obviously helped with the lyrics. But I remember reading the first, before knowing how the songs went, I got to see kind of the lyrics. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I don't even think there were lines that made it. But in the first draft, I remember texting back. There are just so many funny lines within the songs and also telling a story and raising what the, you know, about the characters and stuff like that. So it's like, I was obsessed. I was so excited and I couldn't get to work. We had to record them so quickly. So I got the role. They're like figuring out the music and then they would send it to me and they're like, we got to record this because we have to have you fully recorded so you can, not mime. There's got to be a better word for that. Something
lip-sync?
Over myself.
Or
yeah,
ADR.
Lip-sync over
or
myself.
Yeah.
It'd be lip sync for myself because basically all of our choreography for all the dancers has to go at the exact time that the music is playing. And some of these are one shot. So it has to be the exact, I can never not have the same exact cadence. So we made our tracks really early before we started filming. And then one of the tracks we did while filming. So it was like, it was so much work at the beginning for me and then learning choreography and stuff like that. So it was one of those things where I could see everybody working so hard, all the things. I had to do stuntman stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, we were all working hard where I just wanted everything to be great for Chris because you believe in the project so much because everybody's working hard, everybody's so talented. You like don't want to jinx it almost. And I'm really happy with how it came out and how everybody's stuff came out. I loved watching all the stuff that I wasn't on set for. I loved watching this show.
Yeah, no, you mentioned Ike Barinholtz. His episode is Fast and Furious and It's so fun.
It's so funny. And I love Walt's episode, Jamie Dimitri.
Oh my
episode.
Gosh.
One of the funniest things. So in this show, Jamie Dimitri was kind of a comedic genius. He's in a show called Staff Let's Flats in England. And he's always in the background of every scene and people don't really remember where he is. So in his episode, he's in the background of everybody's scene, even in his episode. And the funniest thing is the writers for all the episodes are just named after us. So for episode 1 is Danique, episode 2 is Brett, episode 3 is Jasper. his episode is called High School. They didn't even name it after him.
That's
I thought
so
that was
good.
Such a funny specific.
Yeah, yeah. So we danced around spoilers a little bit, so I do want to get into spoilers. And I promised you a bell or a whistle or something.
Hit it, Charles. Hit it.
Woo, woo. Spoiler warning. Does that work?
Very good.
Okay, thank cool. You, Charles. All right. So yeah, don't listen if you don't want it spoiled. You should really watch the show fresh. But if you're still here, Ben Schwartz is a murderer, people. So
what a reveal.
Yeah. So when you, I think you were kind of hinting towards it, when Christopher Miller pitched this to you, you knew that you were the killer, right?
Yeah. So in that email, in that initial email, it was, it's a murder mystery. It's different genres. Yours a musical. And even more exciting than that, you're the killer and you're the only one that knows that right now. Nobody else knows. And I was like, that's the other thing. I love in those things, the end when the killer has their crazy person speech and their confession. Yeah. I love that. And the ones that I love the most are the ones that the people that are confessing don't know what they did was crazy. Because in their head, the only way in my head, I mean, the dramatic aspect of this, because the last episode for my character is a drama, basically. So it's like, it's the dramatic aspect is he feels slighted. He doesn't think what he did is wrong. Look at all the things that he's been slighted, and he just got pushed too far. So I love the idea that when he's explaining himself, he's trying to tell people why this happened. Don't you understand why? So I love that aspect of it. And I love the idea of playing that thing. Like, how fun is, you know, the Joker is so fun because the Joker thinks he's saving the world with his craziness,
right?
Even though he knows he's unhinged. So I love my villains believing in their plans so much that they almost can't see the disaster and the ruthlessness in it.
Yeah. So you said that when you got the pitch, nobody else knew. You were keeping it a secret. Christopher Miller was keeping it a secret. I read that it was revealed at the table read for the episode. Is that correct?
We did table reads for the first three episodes, so Apple could see everything. It was over Zoom. We never met each other yet.
Wow.
That was all we got. And then the future episodes, we didn't do table reads, but that people got the scripts as we were filming or about to film. And that's when everybody found out. And that's when I started getting texts being like,
did anybody guess it?
I don't know. Out of the cast, I'm not sure if anybody guessed it. I know I kept it a secret from everybody else. Like, I didn't tell my mom, my dad, my girlfriend. I didn't tell my agents or managers, wow, which was so funny because, you know, my agent is one of the people. Brian DePersia was my agent at the time. He's now become a fancy manager. But we really had to work the schedule out with Space Force because I was doing both, like, back to back. And it was COVID and they wanted a lot of room between. So it took a lot of work for us to make sure it worked. And it was great just scheduling wise. Because I said yes immediately. Of course I said yes immediately. There's not a lot of bargaining with me. Yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. I got to do this. So he, when it was revealed, and him and my managers, Rachel and Jesse, they're like, well, you can't be the killer because we would have found out in this process of trying to figure out, you know, like dates and figuring out all that stuff. And you would have, there's no way you wouldn't have told us. Like, it's too much, like, on the line. You know what I mean? So they went into it knowing that I wasn't. So it was such a great reveal when my manager Jesse saw it, and, you know, all those people saw it. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? How did you not tell anybody? And then I would memorize my lines for the last episode when my girlfriend was away or, like, you know, in a different place where she couldn't hear me. So she would have no idea.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
yeah.
They've announced season two. They have not announced that Jasper is returning. We know that.
Can give you a scoop. You want a scoop?
Sure, sure.
Not going to be there, baby.
Well, that's great, because this is my question for you. Since we can now speculate freely, what happened to Jasper? He got arrested. Did he become infamous? Did he get fame? Did he release a prison EP? Like, what happened?
Listen, maybe I don't get to read any scripts. Maybe there's going to be some stuff that I would love. I would love to find out what happened to us through dialogue of, you know, who do they say is in there right now? Tiffany's in there. Sam and Zoe are in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then yeah, new people, so, a bunch of new people.
Yeah. Which is going to be amazing. I saw Zach Woods was on that list.
Oh,
he was like
perfect.
One of the funniest people of all time. And who they announced a bunch of people that I'm like, oh, that person's going to be amazing.
Anna Conkle.
Oh my gosh. She's so funny. Paul
Elizabeth
Walter
Perkins. Houser. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be bananas. I think people see the first season. They want to work with Lord and Miller and they're like, I mean, you get to play like six versions of yourself. Then you get to have your own all-star episode. This is like an actor's dream come true. And then you have someone at the helm where you can improvise and Chris will always pick the best take. You never have to worry, or you can take risks and know that you're being taken care of. But my pitch to Chris, which was immediately said no to, well, he laughed and then he said no, was, I think what should happen is that whatever the second season is, my assumption is there is a murder, right? This is me talking at the end of the first season. And then, Tiffany says the only way to solve a murder is to get inside the brain of a murderer. And then they bring me out like Hannibal Lecter with the mask and everything, and I land there. And then I help Tiffany figure out who the murderer is. But I was immediately told that was not going to happen.
Man, they just need to do a little short about that. I just need to see that. That would be hilarious.
Listen, an Oz-type story with Jasper in jail is not something I'm averse to.
Yeah, yeah. So last, before I let you go, I got to ask you about a film that's coming up that I'm super psyched about.
You don't have to let me go. We're doing great. Okay. I have like 40 minutes or 30 minutes. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, let's talk about Renfield. I don't know how much you can talk about Renfield.
You'll be one of the first people I talked to. Oh, but I just released a video yesterday, so I can talk about that, which I haven't been able to talk to anybody about.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so Renfield is a movie that was written by Ryan Ridley, who's a genius and wrote on Rick and Morty, but is just like a straight up genius and funny man. And we're very lucky that he wrote the script. Chris McKay, who directed Batman, Lego Batman, and also directed Tomorrow War. But also I wrote for Robot Chicken for 5 episodes. He worked on Robot Chicken for a bit. And he's such a passionate, wonderful director. And like one of those directors when he's like, okay, yeah, maybe you can crawl through this. And he'll like crawl through the car himself and like, I love being around people who love movies and love making movies. And Lord and Miller that, and Jeff Fowler is that for Sonic, and Chris is exactly that. He's so passionate about what he's doing. So it was really fun to be directed by him. Nicolas Cage plays Dracula. Nicolas Holt plays incredible. And by the way, they already leaked the photo, which is supposed great. To go out. But people don't even know. There's so much more. There's so much more Nick Cage that you haven't seen.
That's awesome.
And Nick Cage was a dream and lovely to work with. And when I was doing scenes with him, he's just great, totally committed, 100% in it. And you're just in awe that this man who's been doing movies for, what do you think, 30 years now?
Yeah, at least. No.
Probably.
Maybe close to 40 at this point.
Crazy. And he's still so committed and loves it. And he was really excited to play Dracula, I think. And Nicholas Holt plays Renfield. Awkwafina plays, I don't know if they've said who she plays yet, but she plays an incredible character. Then I play a character named Teddy Lobo, who's not a good man. He's a bad boy. But there's this video that Universal let me post because, you know, you got to make sure you don't want to spoil anything for anybody. But they let me post this video. You could see my character. I'm all tatted up on my arms. I have neck tattoos that go all the way up. And it's me doing a card trick with one of the stuntmen, Marvin Ross, who's like, it's like magic what these stunt people can do. It's funny, for After Party, it was my first time being around dancers, like professional dancers. And I was in awe. I would be doing these moves and being like, oh, and they'd be like 5, 6, 7, and they're going again and again and again. And they're doing way harder moves than I'm doing. And they're doing it synchronized. And they're incredible. And they're acting during it. I was blown away by that. I equally was blown away by the stuntmen and women, of course, on Renfield, because I've never been in a movie where I'm doing stunts and I have a stunt double and I'm fighting someone else's stunt double and they're on wires and they're getting their asses kicked, or Marvin can do all these like parkour type tricks. I'm probably using the wrong terms. I forget what, there's all these terms that I learned when I was there. There's something called like tricking and stuff like that. But it's incredible. But in this video, in between scenes, in between setups, Marvin had a deck of cards and he go, and I grab one without looking while he's doing that. And it is maybe the coolest thing I've ever done in my entire life. and we caught it on camera and nothing makes me happier, but I got to post that. So that's your first look at Teddy Lobo, which is a bad guy character that I play in that movie.
That's awesome. So you're embracing your villainous side now. No turning back.
I guess I play people who have the ability to. Someone said, what's the difference between, you mean tell me the difference between Jasper and this and like, you know, John Ralphio. I was like, oh, John Ralphio could never kill somebody. What are you talking about? Like, and Jasper, you know, obviously, you know, there's some darkness inside him that he's capable of that. But yes, so I play two characters that are not afraid to take people's lives in a row, which is very different for me, which is exciting because I'm at a place in my career now where some opportunities are coming where I get to play, you know, more eclectic type characters. Then people trust me with some roles now, which is exciting, man. I've been doing this for a little bit, so it's really exciting that people are letting me try some new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So we talk about Nick Cage a little bit, but I love Nick Cage. I think he's this perfect mixture of sincere yet self-aware and funny, and yeah, he's a great guy. So when you are like, okay, I'm going to join a movie where Nick Cage is Dracula, and you go on set and you see him in that costume that we've seen now, what was that like? Were you intimidated at all, or were you just like, this is the most fun thing I've ever had to do?
I got to see a little piece of his screen test. So like, not screen test, but once everybody's cast, they do these tests on camera to see how the outfits look, like on big movies, on indie movies. Never done any of this, yeah. You know, but on these big ones, I've tried on all my outfits next to a person who plays a character that I'm with, Sheree, who I'm in. So we're together on the set, making sure that our colors work with each other and work with the backgrounds of what we're going to be playing with. And I got to see one of his looks through that right before we started filming. I was like, oh my fucking God, this is crazy. And then when you're in scenes, it's so easy to react. I mean, like everybody says that acting is like 90% just reacting truthfully. And all I have to do is look in front of me and it's fucking Dracula. It's like, it's like even my brain is trained from watching Dracula movies. When I see Dracula, to be scared. Like even when I'm watching as a movie. So imagine this figure coming towards you. Even when I like see him get out of his trailer, I'm like, like, so it's awesome and easy to react to. And, you know, that's a, you know, I don't know if you watch those Universal Monster movies, but there's a lot of really cool ones, man. And there's a lot of really cool shit in there. And it's like, it's kind of like history of filmmaking. And so the fact that I get to be in a movie with a historical character, I mean, that is a historical character that everybody knows. Dream come true. I mean, you know, there are all these things that you wish you could do when you're near that character. And I was lucky enough to be around that character, which is nice.
Yeah. So just to end on After Party again, my favorite line that you deliver in this whole show is,
oh, I can't wait.
You go to Zoe and you're talking, she catches you guys listening in, and you try to explain that you're listening to Xavier's love ballads, and you say, and you say, have you heard Subtle Orgasm? It goes a little like, blah, blah, blah. And you do that. What is, I was mortified for you. But doing that in front of people has to be a trip, right?
Well, that was all improvised. Chris really let me go nuts. So I said, oh, have you heard his song blank? And then I sang like in one of my, when I was improvising, one of the times I like sang a little whatever and it made them break. And then it was decided that like, just keep setting me up. I'll make up something. And then Zoe would be like, I want to hear that. And then I'll sing it. So it kind of like evolved into, there are like four different fake songs that I made up, and then just Chris picked that one. But to fake an orgasm, by the way, there are things in movies and stuff that are just always going to be embarrassing and weird. Any sex scene is going to be fucking weird. Any scene where you have to like pretend standing up, falling down, I had to pretend to be like masturbating to someone's picture, like under the covers. Come on, man. What am I doing? Like, it's terrifying. Yeah. All that stuff is like, oh, this is just going to be embarrassing. Like, because in real life, it's probably embarrassing. So it's like, it's like, how does this character do this? Oh, I have to think about this shit. But for that, it was like jokey and inside of someone else's song. So it was fun. And it was like me pretending to be Xavier in a song. So that was fun and easy. I like that a lot. Yeah. But man, I don't know if Apple releases bloopers, but holy shit. You think about all the funny people that are in that show. And all the great improvisers and creative minds, there's so many funny things that just didn't make sense for the scene, but that we were allowed to do because Chris is amazing and knows doing that, we'll find something else that's more fun that we can figure out, you know, go, oh, that's too much. Let's bring it back down here. Some of that. So he was very kind and really let me go for it and improvise, but always within the structure of what it is, because you can't go too far out because there's so much stuff we're juggling with every scene. Things we're giving away, like little hints, but also you can't say this because it could show that you're not there at this time, or you know what I mean? So it's like, it's amazing. Chris Miller should win a series of awards just for how he pulled this off. But I love that you pointed that out. That is improvised. Also, there's a scene someone pointed out the other time. It's like, I really like that scene where you're like trying to figure out Jamie Demetrio's name and you call him Slamps. And yeah, I was like, that's totally, I made that up. And I did it so many, it was a night shoot. It was 4 a.m. And I kept, every time that part of the scene came up, I just kept going bananas and just trying to get people to laugh kind of. And like, and Jamie at the end was just like, it was just like, there was nothing left in the tank. It was like 5 a.m. and everybody was so happy and we had so much fun. But that's another scene that would be like an hour of bloopers of just us making up names for Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I'm glad you keep bringing up the character of Walt, because he to me is like the silent star of the movie or the
Man,
show.
He's so funny. I also think John Early is so. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, everybody's funny in this show, but I mean, like, because John's in it, but like John should be a TV movie star. He's incredible, and Jamie should be the movie. He's just incredible. Jamie makes me laugh without saying a word. How many actors nowadays can do that type of thing? Like, he could just run into something, go, and you're like on the floor. You're on the floor laughing.
I mean, one of his final episode, he's just trying to get out of the way of Tiffany Haddish, and he does it in such an awkward way that she points it out, and he's like, "I'm giving you room." You're like, "Oh God, brilliant."
He's amazing. I feel so lucky to have been a part of that show. Anytime I can, I try to point people to that show, because it's new and, you know, maybe not everybody's watching. So doing these interviews, doing anything, just keeping people aware of that it exists and how good it is. Cause I really am proud that I'm part of it.
Yeah. So everybody, if you're listening now and we spoiled it for you, we're sorry, but you still should watch it because it's hilarious. but it is hilarious and it's well worth it. Even a rewatch is going to be worth it. I'm not even blowing smoke. I've watched the Jasper episode 2 or 3 times, once to just show my wife out of context, because I'm like, these songs. Good job.
So happy. And also, just so you know, Charles, if you watch it again, the whole show again, I have, throughout the show, you could see me dropping shit throughout the stuff. So like, in my acting performance, I obviously know that I killed the person. And so throughout the whole show, you'll see me crack or get really nervous, or like, there's a moment where I realize that there's a camera in the privatized movie poster. And my reaction is literally like, oh my God, oh no, there's footage of me killing somebody. And then me trying to make that look like I'm saying it for Sam. So it's like, you'll see these little things I drop. And also the other thing for people who are watching is that there's puzzles in every episode. So Chris Miller put puzzles in episode 1. If you look behind, there's a scene, I can say it now, but there's a scene where Zoe and Anika are on the rafters talking. And in the back, there's a red light that's blinking. And you're like, what the fuck is that? And it's Morse code telling you who one of the people. So like every episode has one puzzle in the background. And I was like, I love, this is the stuff I love. Like if I'm watching, so the fact that I'm going to show them is a part of it over the moon. I can't wait to watch the second season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm here for the Jasper spinoff. If you can somehow make that happen. Oz with the Jasper.
Funny, a total drama Oz, but it's Jasper in there.
I'm here for
trying
it.
To do like a Johnny Cash concert.
Completely dressed as Hannibal Lecter with the mask and the straight jacket and everything. Yeah, I'm here for it.
How silly. What an absolute bomb that would be.
I don't know. Maybe it's my sense of humor, but I think that would be one of the greatest things. So.
I think Jasper in jail would be really funny.
Yeah.
I think there's something in there. Or like trying to get out of jail would be really funny. Like a Shawshank Redemption with Jasper would be really funny.
Yeah, it's so good.
Comedic right. Shawshank, Charles. Let's sell it now. Comedic Shawshank.
Comedic Shawshank, yeah. He's trying to bust out to maybe do his a performance of subtle orgasm.
There's an orgasm. There's a big performance at the Beacon he really needs to get to.
Yeah, so he can get somebody to bless his track.
There's an RIP concert. Yeah, exactly. There's an RIP concert for Jasper, and he has the perfect song for Xavier, and he has to get over there and sing it.
Done. Get Apple on the phone. All right. Yeah. So thanks, Ben, for talking with me for the last half hour. It's been great. Everybody go watch The After Party. It's well worth your time. Watch Sonic with or without kids, I guess. I guess I need to get on it.
It's for everybody. It's not a kids movie. It's for everybody.
No, it is.
Kids love it.
They do. People are crazy about Sonic, which is fantastic for you because you don't even have to put on a blue suit. You just get it, you know.
The first one, they put dots on my face and they made me wear a camera helmet. And then afterwards, like, nah, we don't have to do that. I was like, we don't? We did that for like 20 records, you know, and it's like you're tethered like the Matrix, so you can't move your body as much. I was like, really? That was such a pain in the butt. But then now they just put on cameras for reference. So like the animators can see how I move my body and they kind of animate me, my movements.
It's not Jim Cameron making the movie. So it's not like Avatar level of photoreal.
I can't wait to see Avatar level stuff. I don't even know what that's going to be like. What is the next level of CG? I feel like we're doing so many crazy things. I can't wait to see.
I did watch the Avatar trailer last night.
Well, how? Is it out?
It was at a press screening. It was a press screening for a trailer. It's good. It's very Avatar-y, but it looks fine.
Did you do it with 3D glasses?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good.
What else did you see? Did you see anything else?
Doctor Strange.
You saw the whole movie?
Yeah.
Don't say anything. I don't even want to know. Okay. I'm too excited for it. We're going to see it this weekend. That and Top Gun, I'm really excited for.
Top Gun.
So this weekend we're doing rewatches of original Doctor Strange, and then we're going to do a rewatch of original Top Gun to get in the mood. I can't wait. What's the next movie you're really excited for, Charles?
Men. Alex Garland.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a freaking genius.
Yeah, yeah. But also Top Gun looks fantastic. I was not sold on it. I'm a huge original Top Gun fan. I'm like, why ruin a good thing? And then you see the new trailer and you're like, Tom Cruise can do no wrong. And
people are saying it's going to be good.
I know. So can't wait to sneak in on that one too. But we'll have to just talk movies sometime. I'll have to have you back.
Yes.
But
whenever you want. Sounds fantastic.
Have a good one. And thank you.
Charles, thank you.